Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to Thursday. It's Thursday all day long, y'all. It's Thursday on a Right Side Radio. We are glad you are with us, and JP is on the board. Hey, man, how you doing?
Doing good. I'm full now after that maple bacon donut.
I have introduced JP to the official food of Right Side Radio. The lovely Charlene brought maple bacon donuts to the studio a while ago.
I was a little skeptical at first, but they're very good. Yeah, I just didn't know how that would taste. You know, how would those flavors mix?
You believe me now, don't you?
It's quite good.
It's quite good. Quite good. Did you get a cup of coffee with it?
Or did I did, yeah.
Oh, see, there you go. Maple bacon donut and a cup of coffee. You can't go wrong. Hey, we got a great show lined up for you. 3:30 today, Butters and Lee, as always on Thursday afternoon. We'll have some Butters and Lee. We'll get both of them in here and ping them with questions, and then they get to flip the script and ping me with questions, and we'll just see where it all goes. So, yeah, Butters and Lee, 3:30, and then I've got a triple dipper just filled up with stuff, so hit it, man.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one out the gate, big talk. That's what I'm saying, big talk, y'all. Kamala's all about the big talk. So last night, Kamala Harris had her interview with Bret Baier. Some are saying this is the first time she's ever had to sit down not knowing the outcome before it started. And I think that's true. But the big talk, well, the big talk is, how did it come out? That's the thing. And so what we're going to do, we're going to do a little different on this dipper. I'm not going to be sitting here rattling a bunch of paper like I normally do and reading out things that I've resourced to show. We're going to go down sound bites from the actual interview and then talk it through. So number one, triple dipper, big talk. Number two, I'm calling this one smell the fear. Oh, man, I'm telling you right now, Democrats are worried. They can sense the shifting in the momentum, and we can smell their fear from here. I've got a series of stories that clearly indicate that they are acting with that last-minute kind of scrambling fear that only happens when you know you're down. So we're going to talk about it. Number two, triple dipper, smell the fear. And then number three, true the vote. True the vote. We got things happening right now. I mean, early voting's already begun, and yet there's still court decisions coming down that are changing the way early voting and regular voting are being counted. We're going to talk about it all. How do we true the vote? How do we know the vote is true? We'll talk about all of that. Number three, triple dipper, true the vote. All right, let me jump into the Right Side Way monologue for today. And, you know, I'll just start off by saying, y'all listen to the show for a while. Many of y'all already know I'm a ground pounder, all right? My personal background in the military includes time in the infantry, both straight leg and airborne units, as well as time in special operations in a branch known as civil affairs. And I'm a firm believer, seriously, a firm believer of boots on the ground. I mean, I've said it before that wars were never won by an army that had clean boots. I don't care how many politicians believe that they can direct the military into so-called clean war that involves nothing but over-the-horizon capability and long-distance strikes and GPS-guided munitions. They're just wrong. A true fight will never be fully and effectively concluded without the enduring value of boots on the ground by average Joes and Janes who are able to see and be seen on the battlefield. So with that said, having been in those positions before, I'll also tell you that every ground pounder does love the sound of overhead cover. Listen, there's nothing sweeter than knowing that there are eyes on target from somewhere high above ready to bring the rain if the guys on the ground get into it. I will never forget being out on a multi-day patrol on the backside of nowhere in Afghanistan, setting up our logger site for overnight, and knowing that the Air Force tactical air control guy who was with us, he had already coordinated for our overhead cover, and they had confirmed our position. We were locked in. In Baghdad, it was different, but still the same. Nothing compares to going door-to-door in a cordon and search with Apache gunships flying figure eights over your head at rooftop level. Just waiting for someone to dare to take a shot at you. And the overhead cover guys, they always had the best call signs, like Ghost Rider and Night Stalker and Spectre. But what they brought to the scene, what they gave to the average dude in the boots, was that sense of security. That overhead cover was in place for you, and that no one could mess with you without paying a big price because you had overhead cover. All right, now that I've painted that image of what it means to a soldier on the ground, let me shift gears, because I always have a point, right? I'm not just here to tell war stories. In politics, A friendly press is like having air cover. You heard me. If the press is on your side as a politician, if the media supports the politician or at least supports the agenda, it's the same to a politician as combat air support is to a soldier in the field. We've all seen what happens when the press gives air cover to Biden and Harris, right? I mean, they've had unyielding benefit of media air cover now for years, and now they're losing it. Interesting. Joe Biden lost his mojo and the press turned on him like a rabid dog. And now Kamala is showing cracks in her air cover as the media outlets begin to realize they may have picked the wrong horse in this race. The media may be about to face 4 years of Trump, who they have been excoriating for years. And if that happens, it would mean that the air cover they've been providing has apparently been ineffective and rendered moot because it didn't actually help. I mean, think about it. For 3.5 years, Joe Biden could do no wrong. If he had said that the sky was green and babies are evil, well, the mainstream media would have lauded his praises, extolled his wisdom, and they would have preached the new era of green skies and mean babies. A complete pass on Afghanistan, a buy on the lack of COVID response, ignoring the mess in our economy and the 40-year inflation rates, the supply chain madness, the southern border collapsing, Biden was given all the air cover that any politician could ever want. And then the cracks began to show anyway. He'd get lost on stage. He slurred his words. He forgot what he was going to say. He took vacations like every other weekend. And then came the epic crash and burn when they actually put him on a stage with Trump in June, and the air cover couldn't hold back the truth. And then came Kamala. The VP who had been relegated to the ash heap of politics, who was not seen as being serious, the VP who everyone knew was a DEI hire, suddenly she was the female reincarnation of Barack Obama. Launch the air cover. Get those rounds on target. We got to give her what she needs. Protect her boots on the ground. But the polls are showing more and more that people can see through the thin facade. You see, the air cover can't always hold back the tide of public sentiment. Puff piece interviews, softball questions, friendly podcasts, pandering to one demographic while losing ground daily. The air cover isn't holding back the public trust. And that's my point. The air cover can't always hold back the public trust. The air cover right now for Kamala is beginning to lose steam and run out of bombs because the people aren't buying it anymore. When the people speak up, the oppressed eventually can't keep up. So let me give you an example of something. There's a story in 1 Samuel 14. Go with me here. Israel was at war. Saul was still the king. One of the real heroes of Israel, though, was Saul's son, Jonathan. Jonathan was loved by the people. And Saul, he was known for being reckless at times. He thought it would be a great idea in the middle of a major battle with the Philistines to announce that if any of his men was caught eating during the battle, that they would be executed. Made no sense. So the troops couldn't eat, and they were getting faint. It was not a good plan, but he was king. So the edict was issued. All right, he had his air cover by the proclamation that was issued. But then Jonathan never got the word. So we're told in 1 Samuel that Jonathan found some honey and he ate it and he felt strengthened by it for the battle. But then Saul found out. And Saul was actually considering executing his own son. And then Saul lost his air cover. Because you see, the proclamation, the messaging, it did not overcome the people's sense of things. And in 1 Samuel 14, 45 through 46, it says, here's the actual verse. It says, but the troops retorted, Jonathan, who saved Israel today, shall die? Far from it. We vow by the life of God that not one hair on his head will be touched, for he has been used of God to do a mighty miracle today. So the people rescued Jonathan. And then Saul called back the army and the Philistines returned home. That's a direct quote. Let me paraphrase it for you, though. The troops retorted, it says. Well, a retort is a stiff reply. Really, it's almost belligerent. It's argumentative. They weren't taking this up for debate. They were telling the king, that's not going to work. And then they basically said, well, by God, that's not going to happen. He's the reason why we even had a victory. You're not touching a hair on his head. We don't care if you're the king. We don't care what air cover you have. He's the only one among us who's been in God's will all along. And then it says this, the thing that it really gets you when you look at the end of the story. It says that Saul just quit the battle altogether and let the Philistines go home. He just quit. He let his enemies go because he didn't have the people's good sentiments anymore. He lost out on all the headlines. His air cover was gone. Well, take note in the story that I just related that nobody threatened the king, per se. No one raised a finger to him. No one insulted him or renounced him as their leader. But they did say enough's enough. They chose to disobey and to call for sanity in the middle of all the madness. And the people were willing to put their own names on the line. They stuck their own necks out there. The people saw injustice, and despite the proclamations of their king, his air cover, they would not sit idly by and just accept it. I believe the people still have a voice today. I believe the people can still affect change, and that people can still band together and make themselves known, even when the media wants to gaslight you. When the media wants to tell you that what's wrong is right and right is wrong, it's still possible for truth to actually win out. The people can overcome a false narrative if they are willing to educate themselves and then speak up. The air cover of a feckless, fawning press, it cannot cover up everything that a propped-up politician does. It's called accountability, folks. And I don't dislike politicians because they're politicians. I mean, I used to be one. There's good folks in politics, but all public officials need to know that air cover only lasts so long until suddenly your air cover hits bingo fuel and has to return to base. And then there you are, out there by yourself, no air cover, like King Saul, like Joe Biden, like Kamala Harris. Air cover, it means everything to the boots on the ground. And when a politician loses their air cover, it's a whole new day. But it only happens when the people actually speak up. That's a wrap for the Right Side Way. All right, well, listen, I mean it. I really do feel like you can see the cracks. I mean, Joe Biden could do no wrong, and then all of a sudden he couldn't do any right. Kamala, she was the magic person. She was the one who brought the solution. She was all in, and they were all in for her. And then now, there's starting to be this air of concern, and even her pundits are beginning to express matters in a slightly different vein. Why? Because she's losing her air cover. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, so we're gonna jump into the dipper here momentarily, but I got to tell you, there's been breaking news since this morning when I got the show ready and resourced. We have the breaking news out of the Middle East that has been very significant. Yahya Sinwar is the head of Hamas, and he is also known to be the mastermind of the October 7th massacre, and Israel took him out today. And this is no small thing. For Israel, this is like taking out Osama bin Laden, all right? This is like tracking down the guy who planned the deaths of thousands and then taking him out. And they went so far as to post the pictures of his dead body, which I put out on my social media this morning. But they aren't playing, and right now Israel is continuing to decapitate its enemies by taking out their leadership. I will also point out too, there have been a number of statements made from the U.S. about it. I mean, it's big enough to where they've now had State Department representatives speak, they've had the Pentagon spokesman speak, and Vice President Kamala Harris also gave remarks. Where's Biden? He's the actual president of the United States, but Biden has made no public statements that I know of at this point. Instead, they trotted out the vice president. He's still the president, right? I mean, that's supposed to be his thing. But right now, the vice president is the one giving remarks on behalf of the White House. And I will say this, it was rather tepid. It was lukewarm. She stood in front of a podium. She was impassive. She read from a prepared script on a sheet of paper, looking down at her notes more often than not, and then pretty much walked out of the room. I mean, this is, you know why? I guarantee you why. This is, she felt like she had to show solidarity with Israel, but she's not happy at all because it happened right before the election, and she's really worried about her progressive liberal base freaking out because they're all pro-Palestinian. So anyway, all that to say, Yahya Sinwar, who is a thug, terrorist, evil individual. You can look at him and tell he's a thug, terrorist, evil individual. I mean, his picture always looks like somebody who you just don't want to see skulking around outside your children's window at night, if you know what I'm saying. He's dead. He's gone. And right, the Pentagon says, by the way, that the U.S. did not have a role in the strike, and it appears to be a true combat death. It was not like a They tracked him down and hunted him and launched a carefully orchestrated, months-long prepared strike to take him out. He was finally found hiding among the tunnels in Gaza, and an Israeli tank, actually fired on he and three others as they ran into a building, and the building collapsed, and he was killed. Sounds good to me. Yahya Sinwar, dead right now. In fact, you know, the IDF spokesperson in the last few months gave a press conference and said they were going to find him. In fact, this is strong words. This is how Israel presents itself on the world stage. They said, "We will find him. He's a dead man walking." And they did, and now he's a dead man laying there. So Yahya Sinwar is gone, and if it comes up more in the show or something else new comes up about it, we'll let you know. And then text messages are dropping in. Text lines are indeed open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it. You can do it on both, same number. Ryan from Hazel Green says, "After watching the Brett Baer interview last night, I have to say it's Kamikaze Kamala strikes again." Yeah, we'll talk about that in more detail in just a minute, brother. Brian from Huntsville says, "Air cover from the media. Please don't tarnish my fond memories of the A-10 Warthog." I'm not. Please know that it does not diminish having a hog do overflights. Just saying. Jeff from Indiana says, "Yesterday Kamala Harris brought her work salad, her word salad covered in blame Trump dressing to an interview with Brett the Bear. And before she knew what had happened, Brett the Bear had tossed her word salad." I saw this morning that Joe Rogan tweeted out one of the clips from her podcast or from her interview. And he said, "What is she even saying right here?" It was actually from another one. It was actually on a podcast she was on. I'm sorry. I tweeted it out this morning. And Joe Rogan is saying, "What is she even saying right here?" And I said, "Nobody knows, but what it really means is she's not coming on your podcast because she knows you're a carnivore and only herbivores eat word salads." So there's that. John from Huntsville, Phil Spectacular Monologue. "Also, did you hear the people of Felony Records are allowed to vote in Nebraska? Are you stealing my notes, John? Are you stealing my notes?" That's later in the show. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, Jim from Grove Oak checked in. He says ABC News gave. I don't know what he's trying to say here. I got an air text.
Assuming he's meaning giving air cover for Biden.
Gave air cover for Biden. I got you. By reporting that he is on his way to a closed door meeting with European leaders, my interpretation is he's on the beach again. Yeah, no doubt, man. We'll see. Gary from Decatur says, "I don't think the media is finally coming around. I think they can't possibly lose any more credibility and stay on the air." Well, okay, that's fair. Hey, listen, we're going to do this first dipper, and we're going to do this a little different. JP, I'm going to be testing your skills today. I fully expect that John is going to be giving you all kinds of bonus points for your button pushing today. Just saying.
I'm ready.
Okay. So last night was the Brett Baer interview from Fox with Kamala Harris. I would hazard that this was the first time she has ever had to do a interview where she was not assured of the outcome, or at the very least had the ability to ask for the cleanup afterwards. Cleanup on aisle 7, load of Kamala to spill to the floor. I mean, that's where a lot of her interviews have been. They've either been puffy, fluffy, filled with nothingness, about topics that really don't gather much in the way of votes. They just kind of get you out there and try to feel the vibes. Or they've been the kind that started off looking like they might mean something, and then CBS does things like won't release the full transcript and then edits out certain portions and puts it up online different than what it was in real life. And you look at it and go, why is that journalism? Because it's not. Well, last night she was on with Brett Baer. And I'll be honest with you, Brett Baer is one of my favorite online interviewers or on-air interviewers. I think he's pretty solid. I mean, I don't think he's rough stuff. I don't think he's one of those guys who will come in there so hardcore that you can't get a word in edgewise, but he also won't be pushed around, and that's pretty much what we saw last night. I will say this. Here's the takeaway. Just bottom line up front. I was taught when you brief the general, give the bottom line up front and then explain it thereafter. So the bottom line up front was, in terms of this interview last night, the right and the left saw what they wanted to see. But if you were an undecided voter, you probably walked away still trying to figure things out. I don't think there was anything in there that moved the needle with the people she needed to move the needle with. She will not move the far right. They are not going to move to her. She doesn't have to worry about the far left. She could get up there and basically, you know, kill kittens on the TV screen, and they would still love her. It's those people in the middle. They're like, I don't know, man. I'm so tired of all this. I'm still thinking. Don't bother me. I'm trying to figure this out. If they were watching, if they were tuning in, they didn't get if they were watching and say, okay, what's she going to say about Israel? I don't know. What's she going to say about the economy? Because my groceries are so expensive. I didn't get anything. What's she going to say about why she stood behind Biden so long and then waited to the last minute to get put in place? I mean, I've been a Democrat for years, but I don't know. I mean, why is she? Nothing. And she was asked about all of it. And her answers, as a far right guy, I will just tell you, her answers were vacuous. All right. There was very little substance. I found one or two. I found one place actually when I was watching it with Charlene last night where I said, well, okay, she did pretty good on that one. And I'll tell you about that in a minute. But that was only one. I thought that she at times got strident. I thought her voice sounded whiny. I thought it was one of those petulant moments where she says, excuse me, I'm trying to answer. Would you let me answer? I'm sorry, I'm trying to answer. And I understand that frustration. I get it. But it didn't come across good. The left, on the other hand, was like, see, she can mix it up. See, she's got a backbone. See, she'll stand there with old Brett Baer from that Fox News, those right-wing dogma-reading individuals. So I guarantee you the left were like, we're for it. We like what we saw. And the right was like, oh, what a soulless harpy with no answers for her questions. It's the people in the middle that needed to know why they should vote for her, and I'm pretty sure she missed out on that one. And then there's also the behind the scenes story, which is starting to come out a little bit. So before we go into sound clips, which is what we're going to do, we're going to dive into sound clips here in a minute, and we're going to work through some sound clips. Brace yourselves. You're going to have to hear her voice. But nonetheless, we're going to break it down a little bit by bit on key portions of the interview. But let me just say this. Part of how the interview was conducted is also very telling. All right. Very, very telling. We're learning now that behind the scenes, she and her staff were a piece of work, man. So not only did they agree to this interview, which, by the way, was an interview they needed. And let me say this, too. It's also an interview they knew they needed. They would not have agreed to this if they didn't need it. How about that? They knew that her reputation was becoming the person who dodges the media. And when she does do media stuff, it's fluffy. And there's no controversy. They needed her to be seen as tough. And I guarantee you, from watching her body language last night, she was nervous as a cat. She was not at all comfortable. She was ready for just like she's mad when she watched. She had a chip on her shoulder the entire time. You watched it. Am I right? I felt like she had a chip on her shoulder. Did you see that?
Yeah, and she did not handle the hostility well. She got very flustered, and when you look on the contrast of Trump and J.D. Vance, when they're only talking to hostile interviewers and they're able to calmly say their point, while she didn't handle it well. She got very flustered and angry.
And I don't think she had hostility coming at her. I don't think she handled her own hostility well. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, the bottom. Yeah, exactly. I mean, she bowed up. She got angry. Her voice went up. She started shaking her hands, pointing her fingers. And I'm like, okay, somebody in her staff is freaking out right now. Oh, God, we should have given her something to calm her down before she came in here. Here's the thing. What we're also learning is behind the scenes, they were playing games. On the one hand, I got a piece from Red State. It's one of the only articles that I printed out for this particular segment of the show. But she was scheduled to be there. I mean, this was going to be done. They weren't going to have time to. They literally said, we'll come in at 5. And Bret Baier wanted to air it at 6. And they knew that. They knew exactly what they were doing. And they were supposed to have roughly a 25 to 30 minute interview. And then Bret Baier was going to air the interview, not edit. But you still have things you have to do. You have to get it ready to go on the air. I mean, there's formatting that has to happen. You've got to make sure the audio is you know, aligned, and you've got to do all the things necessary to make sure that it shows up on the TV the way it's supposed to be in real life. So they knew what the time constraints were, so they were supposed to start at 5 p.m. Start at 5 p.m. Start. That's 5 p.m., by the way, that's
Eastern
time. So 4 p.m. here, because it was going to go on the air at the very next hour. So it was going to be 25 or 30 minutes, and then at the last minute, they said, we'll do 20. Okay. And then they were 15 minutes late getting there. So at that point, they knew exactly what they were doing. They were trying to ice the kicker here, basically.
Yeah. That's exactly the reference Bret Baier said in the post-interview thing that he did on Fox, said that felt like they were icing him.
Yeah. I mean, they're trying to get him off his game, trying to make sure I don't think he was rattled, though. I mean, in fact, I looked at Charlene at one point. I said, I have never seen an interview so prepared.
Yeah, had clips ready to show her. And I like that, because they had her defend her own words.
Exactly. They brought receipts. Mm-hmm. They absolutely brought receipts. So they went on. The interview started late. They cut it down at the end. And then what we also have learned was that her staff was standing around. And at some point, her staff was waving their hands in the air, saying, we got to be done. We got to be done. Why? Why are they dictating when it's done? They're not the ones that have to air it at a certain time. They've got an opportunity here to sit with a journalist and get everything out you want to say. And their mode is to go, we're done. And in fact, at one point, Bret Baier literally said, where's the quote? It was something along the lines of he was getting the bum rush.
He's like, they're giving me a hard out.
A hard out, yeah. Yeah, exactly. They were waving him out. We're done. We're done. It's not his staff. It was her staff doing that. Mm-hmm. Maybe they were trying to throw in the white towel. I don't know. All I know is this. In the background, this did not go as smoothly. And if Kamala really wanted to embrace the opportunity, she should have showed up early, shook his hand, smiled, sat down and said, all right, let's get this done. What do you want to talk about? And then she could have said, no, I don't agree with that, Bret. And here's why. And she wouldn't do that. She wouldn't answer the questions. So we're going to walk through, after the next break in a minute, we're going to walk through some of the clips on this. And I'll tell you, these clips are roughly a minute to a minute and a half long, and we'll play one and then we'll come back to it. And so I'm just brace yourselves, because there's times when it's going to be really frustrating to listen to. If you didn't watch it last night, you're going to have to go ahead and just start from scratch. If you watched it last night and you still have PTSD, just know we're going to go through it again, but we'll be there together. All right? All right, we're going to take a break. Let's take that break, JP. We'll come right back, and we will jump on in. Just hang on, fellas, because here we go. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades up in here. All right, so we're gonna start walking through some clips. Kamala Harris's interview. I'm calling this segment Big Talk. And so Big Talk happened last night, but the Big Talk wasn't always clear, cogent, and on point. Sometimes it was argumentative. Other times you look at it and go, I don't know what was said. In fact, one of the most deliberative moments I thought that Bret Baier evidenced was when he just flat told her he doesn't know what she's talking about. And I think that's my first clip. Let's go ahead and let's do this. I want to give you this one clip right here. To me, was one of the most telling clips. No one's ever said this to her in an interview ever. Play it.
Frankly, exhausted of Bret.
More than 70% of people tell the country is on the wrong track. They say the country is on the wrong track. If it's on the wrong track, that track follows 3.5 years of you being vice president and President Biden being president. That is what they're saying, 79% of them. Why are they saying that? If you're turning the page, you've been in office for 3.5 years.
And Donald Trump has been running for office.
But you've been the person holding the office.
Come on.
Madam
you
Vice
and I
President.
Both know what I'm talking about. You and I both know what I'm talking about.
I actually don't.
About.
What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is that over the last decade,
but
people
you're the lever
have become.
Of power.
But listen, over the last decade, it is clear to me, and certainly the Republicans who are on stage with me.
Wow. So, okay, first of all, kudos to Brett Baer on that one. The very fact that she said, you know exactly what I'm talking about, and he had the chutzpah to say, actually, I don't know what you're talking about. He asked her flat out, 79%, the polling says 79% of America are concerned about the direction the country's going in. And that's after 3.5 years of her being the vice president. Her response to that was not to talk about their fears or concerns or why they're unfounded or what she's, you know, even gonna do for that matter, not the least of which is what she's done. But her response would say, Donald Trump, what is that? Listen, you're going to hear throughout these clips probably Donald Trump's name multiple times, because her answer to everything was that Trump is the problem. It's like she doesn't want anyone to know that she's currently in office. She did not even address the fact in this question that she's the one in office, even when he pointed out 3.5 years of you, he said. 3.5 years of you. And then her response was, well, Donald Trump's been running for office for 10 years. And he said, you're the one in power. So listen, I mean, this clip right here was one of the most telling. It sort of set the tone, in my opinion, for the entire thing. He brought the facts. He asked the question. She really didn't give an answer except Trump derangement syndrome. You got any thoughts on that? I mean, did you?
Yeah, I was just going to say there were a lot of yeah, but Trumps in this interview. Yes. So, yeah, but Trump. And it appears that she's been told by her team to make this as much about Trump as possible. And that's what this whole interview, when she didn't have an answer, is just, let's just talk about Trump and see if that works.
And then, by the way, she should never play poker. She has some tells, right? And one of her tells is, you can see, as she's trying to gather thoughts, you can see the deer in the headlights for the briefest of seconds. And she starts off by trying to fill the space by going, and then a word comes out.
Yeah. It's,
she did that. There was one interview she did where she was asked about the southern border, but madam, you haven't been to the southern border. And she said, and I haven't been to Europe either. and like, that was funny.
Yeah. It's, come on, Brett. You know what we're talking about.
I really don't know what you're talking about. All right. So we're gonna break them down like this throughout. And you guys can text in as we go and tell me what you think about stuff. David from Athens has checked in. He said, David from Bucky's says, Phil, CBS's interview with VP Harris was edited for content and time allowed. They just forgot the disclaimer. Nice. Nice. Forgot the disclaimer entirely. And they also changed the answers. John from Brownsboro says, when Kamala was pressed on her 4 years as VP, and why she did nothing, and she blamed it on Trump campaigning for 10 years, Brett should have asked how a civilian talking to the people derailed the administration. She's the second most powerful person in the world. How much of a grip does she have on her own authority? She doesn't. And you know what? She doesn't really walk in her authority. That's a key point, is there is something to be said for, and that's not ostentatious. It's not like saying you're wrong, you're lording it over people. But walking in your authority means, number one, you take action when needed, and number two, you own it when things don't go right. And so she really didn't do that. In fact, in this particular case, I would say that she literally avoided that. She took every pain. I mean, by the way, who does this? I'm gonna try not to keep second guessing Brett Baer, because it's already over with. So why do that? But I will say this: I wish that he had followed up by saying not just, what is Trump running for 10 years have to do with anything, even though he hasn't been? But how about this? The last 16 years, only 4 of those years have had a Republican president. 16 years, only 4 of them have had, and you've been in the thick of it, in the Senate and now in the White House. It's going to go like this for a while, y'all. Brace yourselves. We're going to do more of this stuff, but I got quotes in here that we're going to do that detail foreign policy. I got quotes in here from this interview that detail economy. How many do we have total? We have 6 more to go through if we can make it all the way through. If I can handle myself all the way through. How much time have I got right now? Do I have time for another clip before we go?
Got about 2 minutes.
How long is that clip too?
Second clip is 2.5 minutes long.
Then we won't do that one right now. All right. No worries. Tim from Decatur just checked in. He says, Tim from Decatur, one big problem we have this year with the presidential election is, regardless of who wins, Kamala Harris has to certify the election. I pray to God Donald Trump does win, but she still has to certify it. She'll certify it. She'll certify it. And I say that because she can't be what she's been claiming to be all this time and then get up there and do what she alleges that Trump would do. All right. So there's that. Jeff Mendiana says, hey, Phil, the things that Kamala Harris, the Democrats, are saying about Trump, I think just as bad, if not worse, than what the Nazis were saying about the Jews in the late 1930s. This is why we need to remember our history. Fair point, Jeff. Very fair point. Devin from Brownsboro checks in. He says, the only policy I've seen on the interview was that Kamala said she would follow the law, which she responded with for every question about policy. One other thing that I was laughing at, he says, was her constant use of the phrase, let's be honest. He says, LOL, that's rich coming from her. Her campaign went for the game-winning field goal. They ended up with the Bama-Auburn kick six. It was brutal. Did we have to invoke the kick six for JP's benefit? I like it.
I got the analogy.
I like it. It makes me happy. Yeah, you know, like I said earlier, the left saw what the left wanted to see. The right saw what the right expected to see. And the folks in the middle who she's trying to gain time with, I don't think it resonated. And that last clip I just played you is a clear indication of why. It's something, man. She's a word salad bar. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We got more of this. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two. And I'm in the middle of Dipper number one talking about Big Talk from last night. So let's just jump right in. So I'm going to play you a clip now from another portion of the interview. It's about 2 minutes, so I may not even play the whole thing. I may just get into it and then stop it. But for right now, JP, hit clip two.
If he's as bad as you say, that half of this country is now supporting this person who could be the 47th president of the United States, why is that happening?
This is an election for president of the United States. It's not supposed to be easy.
I know, but
it is not supposed to be a cakewalk.
So are they misguided, the 50%? Listen, are they stupid?
Oh, God, I would never say that about the American people. And in fact, if you listen to Donald Trump, if you watch any of his rallies, he's the one who tends to demean and belittle and diminish the American people. He's the one who talks about an enemy within, an enemy within, talking about the American people, suggesting he would turn the American military on the American people.
We asked that question to the former president today. Harris Faulkner had a town hall, and this is how he responded.
I heard about that. They were saying I was like threatening. I'm not threatening anybody. They're the ones doing the threatening. They do phony investigations. I've been investigated more than Alphonse Capone. He was the greatest gangster. No, it's true. But think of it. It's called weaponization of government. It's a terrible thing.
So,
Brett, I'm sorry, and with all due respect, that clip was not what he has been saying about the enemy within that he has repeated when he's speaking about the American people. That's not what you just showed.
Well, he was asked. Right.
You can stop it there. You can stop it. Was that the end of the clip anyway? There was a little more, but I think it's all the same. So let me just break that. First of all, that was a whiny voice. Someone's got to coach her. She needs a life coach. When you get on there, just going, that's not going to help your situation whatsoever. If you want to be seen as a strong, assertive female, you can't use a little bitty girl voice when you start off talking. But then the other piece is Brett's asking her about the 50% or more of America that is absolutely for Donald Trump. And what about them? If 50% of the country likes them, then how can she possibly say he's, you know, crazy, he's deranged? And she went all in. And then, of course, she got Trump's the one who's mean. He says mean things. He said, you send people to jail, lady. I mean, and then what I love, though, this is one of the first times in the interview where it was obvious that Brett Baer came prepared. Because the question was not asked about Trump saying the enemy within. But he was ready for her to do that, and he pivoted real quick, and he played an audio clip for her to listen to. And he did that multiple times throughout the interview. Let me ask you something. Has Trump ever – I need to go research it. Has Trump ever talked about the quote-unquote enemy within and turning the American military on the U.S. people? I don't recall that ever being a thing.
I've seen it referenced many times, but I have not seen an original clip of him saying that. No,
and that's what we need. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you what, I'll give her enough of a prop to say I'll go research it. But this claim, that does anybody really believe that Donald Trump is going to take the U.S. military and turn it on the American people? Oh, by the way, can we please recall who it was that said, if you want to bring a AR-15, man, you better go ahead and bring an F-16. I mean, who was that? Oh, that'd be the Biden-Harris administration. So, yeah. All right, that's kind of how the way things went.
Which, by the way, I just want to say this, too. Yeah. When she got upset, they didn't play the actual clip. Even if that clip exists, which I'm doubting if it does, he never claimed that was a clip. He was saying that was Trump's response to them asking about that clip.
Yeah.
And then she got upset that they didn't play the clip. Like, they didn't say they were going to play the clip. That's Trump's response to the clip. So you're not listening to what he's saying.
Absolutely. All right, clip number three. Let's see how it goes. Clip number three, here we go.
You know, voters tell pollsters all over the country and here in Pennsylvania that immigration is one of the key issues that they're looking at this election, and specifically the influx of illegal immigrants from more than 150 countries. How many illegal immigrants would you estimate your administration has released into the country over the last 3.5 years?
Well, I'm glad you raised the issue of immigration, because I agree with you. It is a topic of discussion that people want to rightly have. And you know what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, but do you think it's 1 million, 3 million?
Brett, let's just get to the point. Okay, the point is that we have a broken immigration system that needs to be repaired.
So your Homeland Security Secretary said that 85% of apprehensions.
I'm not finished. We have
an immigration system. It's a rough estimate of 6 million people have been released into the country. And let me just finish. I'll get to the question, I promise you.
I was beginning to answer.
And when you came.
Wow.
No, she wasn't.
The first thing she says, I'm glad you asked the question. No, she wasn't. she wasn't glad at all, because that's one of her least favorite topics, and she shows it. So it's a topic of discussion that people rightfully want to have. No, they want it friggin' fixed, lady. They want it fixed. But then she said, our system is broken. But he went on to talk about the fact, and I thought it was going to be in that particular clip. Maybe it's in another clip in a minute. I thought that was a clip where he was going to say, there were more than 90 executive orders that your administration did away with within the first 24 hours of taking office that then opened up the border. And I'll just listen. I look at it and go, just wow. Is there one of those? You see one of those in there that's going to wind up having that particular segment in?
I don't see it in any of these titles, but it may be in one of the other ones. Well, but
that's my recollection of where the line of questioning went.
Yes.
And she did not want to deal with it. She would not touch it. And she kept trying to talk over him. She was mad that he wouldn't let her get her filibuster point out. She didn't want to deal with the issue. She never would admit that 6 million is what her own Department of Homeland Security has said, even though we know it's more than 10 million. All right, so that's clip three. Let's do clip four.
This particular one from the Trump campaign has gotten a lot of attention.
Oh, yeah.
Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners.
Surgery.
For prisoners,
every transgender inmate in the prison system would have access.
So are you still in support of using taxpayer dollars to help prison inmates or detained illegal aliens to transition to another gender?
I will follow the law.
There you go.
And it's a law that Donald Trump actually followed. You're probably familiar with, now it's a public report, that under Donald Trump's administration, these surgeries were available to, on a medical necessity basis, to people in the federal prison system. And I think, frankly, that ad from the Trump campaign is a little bit of like throwing, you know, stones when you're living in a glass house.
The Trump aides say that he never advocated for that prison policy and no gender transition surgeries happened during
his presidency. Well, you know what, you got to take responsible for what happened in your administration.
Yeah, no surgeries happened in his presidency.
It's in black and white.
Would you still advocate for using taxpayer dollars for gender reassignment surgeries?
I will follow the law, just as I think Donald Trump would say he did.
You would have a say as president.
He spent $20 million on those ads trying to create a sense of fear in the voters, because he actually has no plan
in this election that is about focusing on the needs of the American people.
To the needs of the American people, not the
$20 million.
How about the needs of the transgenders in prison who desperately need to have some kind of a surgery so they can feel different than they born and stuff? I mean, this is that was one of the segments that was hard because, again, Bret Baier brought the receipts. He played her own words back to her, and her only response was not that she would. The question was, do you still support it? By the way, I want you to notice he carefully worded his questions. He didn't say, do you deny that? Or he didn't say, what would you do? He said, do you still support? Because the question is based upon the fact that she expressed support in the past.
How rich of it for her to say you have to take responsibility for what happens in your administration, too. Yeah. Meanwhile, she's been dodging responsibility for the whole interview.
Somebody told me that that's already become a Trump commercial, taking responsibility for what's in your own administration. it's just too funny. All right, take me to a break there, JP. We'll do a break. We'll come back and see if we can get some more in before the bottom of the hour. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just putting all the truth out there you could slap on a bumper sticker. So where are we? We're on soundtrack number 5. Is that right? By the way, special thanks to Jay from Killen. Sent in a link to a YouTube video. It's a little bit long. It's about almost 2 minutes long, but they mix in a couple of clips of Trump talking. And this is what he says. Here's the clip that Special K, meaning Kamala, is talking about. I'll leave the interpretation to y'all. Yeah, so we just kind of watched it briefly during the ad break, trying to figure out what he said. I could see where he's, Trump's not always the most artful speaker. I don't think he was saying, I intend to take the U.S. military and run tanks through people's houses. It's not like that. If we have time, we might play that later in the show. You just hang on to that clip for us, all right? Let's jump back on to audio clip number 5 for the day. Take it.
Follows on that ad.
Wrong one. It's interesting you said turn the page, Madam Vice President. You were asked on 2 different shows last week what, if anything, you would do differently than President Biden. Here's what you said.
Would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind in terms of, and I've been a part of most of the decisions that have had impact.
Under a Harris administration, what would the major changes be and what would stay the same?
Sure. Well, I mean, I'm obviously not Joe Biden.
I know.
And so that would be one change in terms of. But also, I think it's important to say with, 28 days to go, I'm not Donald Trump.
So you're not Joe Biden, you're not Donald Trump, but nothing comes to mind that you would do differently?
Let me be very clear. My presidency will not be a continuation of Joe Biden's presidency.
All right, freeze it right there.
And
That's interesting to me. That's the first time she tried to throw Joe under the bus. Now, we all know that she was part of the decision-making process to get him off the ballot and get her name out there as the number one on the ticket. But what we just heard for the very first time was her willingness to say that what she's been a part of is not what she wants to do. So that, to me, was one of the most telling moments. That was and if I were Joe and Jill Biden right now, I'd be ticked. Because Joe's been out there. When he knows where he is and what he's doing, he's been saying things along the lines of, she's been right there with us. She's going to do a great job. She's done so much to help us make the country the way it is now. And then she just flat out said, let's be honest, there will not be a continuation of the Joe Biden presidency. Wow. Keep playing.
Every new president that comes in to office, I will bring my life experiences, my professional experiences, and fresh and new ideas. I represent a new generation of leadership. I, for example, am someone who has not spent the majority of my career in Washington, D.C.
Wow, stop it right there. She just threw Joe under the bus again. She basically said she's been working for a career politician who has spent his entire life in D.C. and that she ain't that. It's time to step on Uncle Joe moment. Play it.
I invite ideas, whether it be from the Republicans who are supporting me, who were just on stage with me minutes ago, and the business sector and others who can contribute to the decisions that I make about, for example, my plan for increasing the supply of housing in America and bringing down the cost of housing, addressing the issue of small businesses, which is about working
with. She went on basically to give her platform speech. But I think the most telling moment in that entire thing was she was asked how to address her own comments that said that she would do nothing different. And her response was to throw her current boss and alleged friend under the bus by saying, in essence, I'm interpreting here, but in essence, he's a career politician who's always been in D.C. and she's not. And she is not going to continue his legacy. Wow. Let's jump on before we run out of time. Let's go to the next clip. What number are we on right now? Six?
Number six.
Hit it.
A number of experts thought you would say China. The FBI director had said that. But you said Iran. If that's the case, what do you say to critics who look at the actions of your administration and say you're not acting like Iran is the number one threat?
Well, I will tell you most recently, whether it was in April or in October, and then several hours on each occasion, that Iran posed a threat to Israel. I was there. Most recently in the Situation Room, in the most recent attack, working with the heads of our military in doing what America must always do to defend and to support Israel in its requirement to defend itself.
Stop it there. I will give her props. This is the moment when in the interview, I looked at Charlene. We were sitting there on the couch watching it. And I said, that might have been her best answer yet. I say that because she was able to position herself as being a person who knows how to be in the Situation Room, working with the military, handling an international crisis. She didn't really fumble this one. I mean, the only thing is the experts say that China is our largest global threat right now, but you cannot deny that Iran is a global threat right now. And Iran is very active, and we actually are in a bit of a sideline shooting war with Iran, if you get down to it, if you count the Houthis and Hamas and all of it. But all that to say, she didn't fumble this one, in my opinion. I don't know if you have another thought on that before we go to the next clip.
She fumbled it later on when Brett followed up and said, well, your policies, Iran has gotten stronger, has gotten richer.
Exactly.
And then that's when the hubda came in.
That's exactly right.
So she had a great supposed answer where, you know, other people wouldn't have had a follow-up, but when Brett Baer had a follow-up and she didn't have an answer for that.
Do we have time for one more clip? All right, hit it.
He's unstable. He is unstable, Brett.
He's not well. You say he's mentally not stable.
He's
talk
not
about
stable.
Let me ask you this. You told many interviewers that Joe Biden was on his game, that ran around circles on his staff. When did you first notice that President Biden's mental faculties appeared diminished?
Joe Biden.
Hesitation.
I have watched from the Oval Office to the Situation Room, and he has the judgment and the experience to do exactly what he has done.
You can stop it there. She refused to go down the road of having propped up somebody who was too senile to be the president. But I love the masterful. That was a great. That was like in a deposition right there, where you have planned out how you want to lead the witness. What he basically said was he accused her of accusing Donald Trump of being unstable and not competent and unable to be able to handle the functions of the office. And then he pivoted and said, "When did you first notice that Joe Biden?" I mean, he didn't say, "Don't you think?" or "Would you agree?" He said, "When did you first notice?"
Yeah. I like how later she goes, "Joe Biden's not on the ballot. Donald Trump is." Like, no, but you are, and you covered up for Joe Biden.
Perfect. All right. Big talk coming up next. Butters and Lee. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one I'm talking about, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, hey, listen, we're gonna jump over to the next segment. So we just finished up doing Big Talk, talking about last night's interview between Kamala Harris and Brett Baer from Fox News. Now let's go ahead and do something that I love doing every single Thursday. We get together with some folks who are, you know, doing a lot of things that just help make this show successful. And we like to refer to this segment as Butters and Lee because they come on the air. I ask them questions, and then we flip the script, and they ask me questions. So let me just call the roll. The digital man extraordinaire, Butters, are you on the line?
I am here.
You are indeed, sounding smooth and sexy. All right. So, and then I'm just reaching back out to Huntsville. Lee from Huntsville, are you there and ready to get ornery?
I sure am.
As always. All right. I pronounce a quorum. It's Butters and Lee. All right. You guys know how it works. Here's the question. First question. I'm gonna stick with the topic we've been on. So Kamala did her big interview last night with Fox's Bret Baier. And here's my just kind of questions from your perspective. Did she help herself or hurt herself? And did she pick up any undecided voters whatsoever? And was there a high point in the interview for her? Like, did she walk away going, that was it, I nailed it on that piece? So a lot of questions, but all wrapped up around that. Lee, ladies first, what do you got?
No, I don't believe she picked up any voters. I think she exposed, that's got to be the most hostile interview she's done. I think she was exposed in that interview that she just has to go back to those same tired answers that she's been trying to give in every interview. It's like she's just very well practiced, but doesn't have any real knowledge. You know what I mean? Like, she can't deviate off of the script that she has been given at all. And when someone asks her follow-up, it's a disaster for her. And I think that's what really exposed her in that interview. And I was surprised to see later in an interview with him that they were late, that he did not get anywhere near the amount of time he was supposed to with her. And they cut it short, jumping up and down, waving their arms, wanting him to cut it off because they could see she was falling down a hole. I mean, her answers were really bad. Especially about the Joe Biden question, which no one's ever asked her. How come you didn't come out and say something about the fact that he was declining? And I think she kept going back and talking about Trump, and I'm like, that's just not, you know, you're not doing yourself any favors by showing you absolutely have no answer for that.
So was there a high point at all? Is there any takeaway that she's like, well, we got that one. At least that's our soundbite.
I mean, she pushed back pretty hard on him. I'll give that to her. But he just kept interrupting her because – the thing that she does, she stalls with the word salad and with the, you know, 8 words, 10 words for one word, you know, and especially she'll say, well, I think, you know, well, yes. And to be clear, and I think that, Tim thinks that, we both think that. Like, and you're like, oh, my God. Like, if I was in a meeting and having to listen to someone talk like that, I just might stab myself in the eye with a butter knife because I can't deal with someone who uses 15 different words where you're just like, just spit it out.
All right.
But
so
he pushed back. I'll get over that.
So Butters, Lee is almost to the point of self-harm after watching the interview. So where are you on it?
Well, you and I both know what I'm talking about. Okay. We both know what we're talking about.
I really don't. What are you talking about?
No. We absolutely both know exactly what I'm talking about. I think that she probably served the objective that she was going for and created the sound bites for the extreme left, her staunchest fans. I mean, you look at the media coverage that's going to come out of it. All they're doing is reporting on the sound bite. So she got the sound bite that is saying what she wanted to say. Even if it wasn't answering the question, they'll just not play that part.
Yeah.
And they'll talk about the mean, big, bad, mean conservative journalist that, you know, was ugly to her. And, you know, there's a bunch of people that'll eat that up like sheep. So
was there a high point at all? Did you see any high points at all that came out of this for her? Like, wow, okay, I'll give her that one.
No. I mean, it's... She went in with an agenda. I mean, I think it's slightly said. I mean, she says what she's programmed to say. So I don't know. Maybe she's a first generation cyborg with some really bad programming.
She has been assimilated into the Borg. You know, the one thing that was missing, I kept waiting for her to find a reason to talk about growing up in the middle class. I don't think she said that during the interview, did she?
I don't remember hearing her talk about that, but it's just so pathetic that all you You can't talk about yourself. You can't. There's no leading. There was no like, hey, come and follow me. It's so sad.
It really is. And I love the fact though that Brett Baer pointed out that she's the one who's been in charge. Her response was, well, Trump's been running for office for like a decade or something. And he said, but you're the one in power. And
that was
absurd. So weak.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. How does anyone, like, if you actually listen to the question, listen to the answer, how does anyone walk away going, yeah, that's what you should say?
That's the right way to, did you practice that? Because that was really, really good. No, not at all. And by the way, I have a piece here from Red State that says that to give you an indication of what the right thinks of this, that Team Trump has already made clear how they feel about it because they dropped the entire interview as one giant campaign ad.
Why?
Yeah, no doubt. All right, next question. Let me switch gears here. We had some breaking news today out of the Middle East. So Israel took out Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar, who was an evil individual. He's believed to really be the architect of the October 7th massacres. He's responsible for deaths and torture of both Palestinians and, you know, folks outside the borders, especially Israelis, for years. He spent 22 years in an Israeli prison at one point because he was such a bad guy. Bottom line is they took him out today, and they've announced it to the world. So here's my question for you. It's seemingly cutting the head off the snake of Hamas, but what are the implications here? What are your thoughts? Put on your foreign policy hat. Is the war going to wind down now because they took out the guy? Or is this going to make him a martyr and a rallying cry for Hamas? What are your thoughts? Butters, you first.
Yeah, I think it's going to be that he's going to be a martyr, and it'll be a rallying cry. You know, Hamas is doing the bidding of Iran. So unless this is enough to actually stop what's going on, then they'll find some other stooge and figure out how to keep on going. So I don't know. I hope that there's a lot of guys not wearing pagers, carrying phones, and maybe okay, they want to go live in bunkers, you know, a few hundred feet under the ground.
It seems to me like being a leader of either Hamas or Hezbollah is like one of the shortest tenured jobs you could ever ask for. Like, there's no job security whatsoever in that.
Definitely a lot worse than, you know, smoking for hazard for your health.
Yeah, there's that. All right, so your thoughts then, Lee, what do you think?
I think that it all depends on who comes in after him. From what I've read, there's several different choices, one of which is his brother, who could step in. And that it really depends on who steps in. But honestly, the Palestinians have been given time and time again, I think at least five times, a two-state opportunity. Hmm. And they have rejected it because in the end, they want the obliteration of Israel. And if whoever gets in has no interest in peace because all they're looking for is the destruction of Israel, I don't see how it stops. If someone comes in that's got a bit more of a negotiation mind and just wants to get out of all this alive, you know, breathing, then they may have a chance. But overall, the Palestinians as a whole, I don't honestly believe they want peace, even as bad as it is. They want the destruction of Israel. Until that changes, you know, what is it, like 75%, 80% of the people support Hamas?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what it is now, but that was before that happened. You know, they support them, and they fully understand what the you know, what Hamas is about.
Well, so here's something to think about, and I'm sort of spitballing out loud, but the Palestinians, their territory is split into two. You've got the Gaza Strip, which is on the southwest side of Israel, and you've got the West Bank, which is on the northeast side of Israel, but it's all considered part of the Palestinian Authority. But the Palestinian Authority in the Gaza Strip area has pretty much been Hamas. Well, if Hamas leadership just got taken out, and well, Hezbollah is in Lebanon to the north, but if Hamas has been decapitated leadership wise, there's an opportunity here for the more, I don't call them moderate, but they're more moderate than Hamas, section of the Palestinian Authority up in the West Bank to assert leadership and to bring a new course and to begin to govern in both locations. And that would be interesting. If they can make that happen, if they can say, we're going to step in now and take charge, and this would be the way that Netanyahu could begin to wind down the war, because he took out the guy he took out the Osama bin Laden, if you will, of the whole Hamas structure that killed thousands of his people.
I definitely
they have to give back the hostages. They have to give them back.
I agree with that completely.
I definitely say Israel's much more in the driver's seat than recent history.
Oh, yeah.
Of what's going on in the Middle East right now.
I would agree with that. All right, that's round one. Go ahead, Lee. What you got?
My last thing is I read an article last night about that that little 6-month-old baby that was taken, and he'd be 18 months now.
Wow.
And
wow,
that
wow, wow.
is the one thing that I've never been able to kind of get that out of my mind. Hmm. And until that baby and his, I can't remember if it was a brother or a sister, are returned, every last one of them needs to be hunted down and, taken off the face of the earth.
No, I agree with that.
I mean, these hostages, if they're serious, they need to start giving them back. But I think that I just don't have a lot of hope for that.
No, I would agree with that. And you're right. And where's the United States on that piece? Because apparently three of those hostages that are still unaccounted for are Americans.
Right.
All right, my friends, that's round one of Butters and Lee. You guys stay tuned. We're going to take a break and come right back. Round two, we flip the script. They ask me questions, and I just wait with bated breath to find out what they're going to ask. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. So going right back now to round two of Butters and Lee. This is the part where I sit back and wait and get asked questions by them and hope that I have an answer. So I'll go with ladies first again. Lee, what you got? Did we lose Lee? Hello, Lee from Huntsville. Lee, I'll switch to Butters. Butters, you there, buddy?
I am here.
All right.
Can you hear me?
All right, yeah. I'll tell you what, JP, see if you can get her back on the line, man. But in the meantime, Butters, what question do you have for me?
Well, so SpaceX.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you heard, but they caught a rocket out of midair.
Just snatched it out of the air.
Pretty impressive stuff. So I guess a couple of questions, in general, just, thoughts on what the future of space travel and civilian, space, this whole deal with California and, not letting him play with his rockets because he's talking about politics and, and then what's SpaceX not doing in Huntsville? How is that happening?
What SpaceX not doing in Huntsville? What do you mean?
Yeah, like, I mean, how do we not have a larger presence in Alabama?
Oh, wait for it. I think it's coming. Blue Origin's already here. So I'd say they're going to be here. In fact, I'd be surprised if they don't already have a satellite office and they're doing some coordinations. But I would listen, it is very telling, by the way, Butters, that on the, I think the same day that Elon Musk's SpaceX company literally, like you said, caught a rocket in midair, it guided it in, threaded the needle with that thing, that NASA put out that it was giving grants to assist in weeding out white extremism in its ranks. Like okay, let's compare the public sector to the private sector right now. Where are we? And one is snatching rockets out of midair and working on flying people to Mars. And the other one is like, well, we're trying to be woke and do some virtue signaling and make sure the ESG is in effect. So, wow. Yeah,
Babylon Bee had a pretty good post on that.
I'm sure they did. I think Musk is just continuing to prove that he is willing to push the boundaries of innovation. And I mean, that same week, by the way, it wasn't just snatching a rocket out of midair. He also had the robo-taxi. He had the big, van that was like something out of, some futuristic movie. And then he had robots that can serve up drinks at the bar. I mean, the whole thing was just very surreal.
So what do you think? I keep wondering, how untouchable is he? I mean, he's got more wealth than I think any human beings ever thought of having. Mm. Is he getting, I mean, I guess, I don't know. Do you think he's untouchable?
No. I think you better be very careful. I think you better dot all his I's and cross all his T's and try to live a life as above board as possible, which I would hope he'd do anyway. But I'm saying I think he's a target. And if Trump doesn't get elected, I think he's even more of a target. Hey, we got Lee back on the line. I'm going to run out of time, so let me jump over to her. Butters, good question, man. Lee from the Huntsville, you're back on the line. What question do you have for me?
Yeah, I don't know. I could hear you. I guess just couldn't hear me. And by the way, he's African American, so I don't know why he doesn't check their box.
He is African American. And anyway,
yes,
go ahead.
Yes, he is.
Go ahead.
My question for you is what do states? And I don't know if you'll know this, being a former senator, you might. I worry about North Carolinians, millennials, however they say it, being able to vote in these places that are devastated, because I just saw where they just started in-person voting today.
Yeah.
And I mean, some of these places are just impassable. Do states have plans for just devastation in areas where you have to provide voting?
Yeah, they do, and they're supposed to take action as needed. So the state of North Carolina, I'm not a real fan of their governor, who I think has been somewhat, lame in his public responses, to what's going on in his state. But I will say this, his state and the state officials, and I believe in conjunction with the state legislature, they did make provisions for people in the disaster relief areas to be able to take certain actions like turning in their absentee ballots to other counties because theirs won't. If they can't get out, there's going to be opportunities for them to get to additional ballot measure or ballot collection points in their area. And then they're doubling up on the ability for mobile voting sites. So, I mean, we still got to watch it. We still got to be very careful, but they're doing what they can, I think, right now to give the people the opportunity to exercise their ballot rights. The question in my mind is, it could cause a delay because it changes the streamlined plan that they already had in place. The thing that it bothers me is when you disrupt the usual flow, you open the door for potential corruption. So what I don't want to see happen is somebody says, well, I've got all these absentee ballots. They just brought them to me because they came from another county. Wink, wink, nod, nod. So we just got to be able to make sure that while you're accommodating people's real needs this time, real, at the same time, you're not also opening Pandora's box and creating more issues for corruption and for not being able to true the ballot. So yeah, right. There you go. And then there's always Florida, where you got Ron DeSantis, who handles it all like a champ, and who, in my opinion, needs to be the next Department of Homeland Security Secretary. Just saying. I want him in charge of my disasters in the future. All of them.
Agreed.
Everywhere.
Don't worry about Florida.
Absolutely. All right, you guys. Music's already playing. Butters and Lee, appreciate you both. Love you. We'll see you soon. All right, you guys, we're taking a break. Coming into hour number three. Where did the first 2 hours go? Hour number three coming up, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three. Man, we got some good stuff laid on for you too. Don't forget tomorrow on Friday, we got every week we've gotten to where we do JP on sports. So JP, I'm expecting sports tomorrow.
you'll get it. We got a good weekend of college football coming up, so lots to talk about.
Better than last weekend.
Yes, much better than last week.
And then we've also got right now confirmed U.S. Senator Katie Britt. And I believe we're also going to have Chairman John Wall from the Alabama Republican Party. So we should have a great lineup for tomorrow. Capped off with JP on sports.
I was gonna say, are you going to make me follow Katie Britt again?
Yes, I am. It's going to be John Wall, Katie Britt, JP.
Oh man,
you can hang, bro. You can hang. All right, I tell you what, I got to jump in here. You guys have been some texting machines. How many do we have in the hopper right now?
A lot. I noticed that.
Good
too.
Lord. I guess I ought to go back to the oldest ones first and move my way forward. So John from Harvest says, when Harris said that Trump was demeaning the American people, I turned to my wife and said, Trump isn't demeaning the American people. He's demeaning Harris. That's fair. Bo from Coleman, regarding one of the clips that we played earlier, says she must be talking about illegal immigrants. He will use the army to get them. She's claimed they're supposed to be here. She's a comedian, LOL. We did get a sound clip from Jay from Killen on that issue. And if we, I tell you what, JP, go ahead and get that thing staged. We might wind up using that yet and let y'all be the decision makers. And now it's kind of mixed in with a more liberal.
I'll isolate the clip itself.
Do it. I mean, you don't. Well, you can. But I think, you know, I don't mind hearing an opposing view. Yep. How long is that clip total? Do you know?
A minute 50.
All right. Just go ahead and we'll have the whole thing staged. But we'll not do it yet. We'll do it in a few minutes. David from Huntsville says there's a caller who was an Army Lieutenant Colonel yesterday on radio said military takes an oath to the Constitution, not to any one president. He said the military wouldn't execute that order from a president. Well, and that's true. And that's exactly right. In fact, Trump knows that. So what a great, David from Huntsville, great, great quote. So the bottom line is this. If any president said, I hereby order the U.S. military to take action against, you know, American citizens. Well, first of all, you got issues of what's called posse comitatus. There has to be a threat to life, limb, or property for the U.S. military, the active duty military, or even reserves for that matter, to be put into place on U.S. soil. Very rare circumstances. Now, keep in mind, I can remember seeing the 101st Airborne going to Montana to help augment firefighters when like two-thirds of the state was on fire, and that was back about 12 years ago. I can certainly remember, historically speaking, that I think it was the 101st Airborne again, that you know, when they desegregated schools, that went to provide safe haven for young black students walking into the schools, and I think that was at Little Rock. I'm going from memory on which one was which. We have all kinds of things that have happened, and then of course the National Guard gets called up by governors under Title 32 status, which is an entirely different set of framework to work with. National Guard can get called up and goes places intentionally to secure sites, to provide rescue and relief, and to take action in terms of enforcement if they have to under the authority of their governor. Trump's not going to, this is laughable. Trump is not going to literally say, all right, I'm the dictator now. I demand that we take action against American citizens. I tell you what, you know what? Let's just play the clip. Let's play the freaking clip, because this is what she's talking about. And despite the liberal punditry attached to it, we check this thing out ahead of time. And while he might not be an artful speaker, he is not saying what she says he said. Go ahead and play it.
I missed something during last week's Donald Trump rally in Aurora. Was standing there, heard it, just wasn't sure if I heard what I thought I heard, so we did not play it back to you here. It seemed that Trump was talking in Aurora about using the U.S. military against Americans that he says hate this country. Listen to what he said.
We have the greatest military in the world, but you have to know how to use them. You have to know how to use them. But I protect you against outside enemies. But, you know, I always say we have the outside enemy. So you can say China, you can say Russia, you can say Kim Jong-un, you can say, but that's not, it's going to be fun. If you have a smart president, no problem. It's the enemy from within, all the scum that we have to deal with that hate our country. That's a bigger enemy than China and Russia.
All right, the military thing and the enemy within.
Notice he did not tie the military to the enemy from within that he's talking about. He was talking about the military and he's talking about enemies. And then in his usual way, he begins to move through topics. He calls it weaving. Remember that on
the... It's kind of funny because I think that's the perfect way to describe
it. That's what he does. He weaves. He weaves back and forth.
You know, eventually gets there, but he takes little detours. Yeah, I think while he was just thinking in his mind, he found it, saw a political moment to bring up, you know, members of the United States that hate this country. And
there's,
you know,
the enemy. There's, yeah, the enemy. Like, there's
like,
the enemy.
Like you said, not really saying I'm going to use the military to go after those people. Just say, oh, by the way, these people are, in my opinion, a bigger threat than the outside enemies. Back to the point.
And by the way, what this clip is from what news source?
This is this Next 9 News.
Next 9 News. Is that out of Colorado? Can you tell?
I can do some investigating, but
anyway, you check that out. So I want to give them attribution, but let's go ahead and keep playing the clip because he references one other clip with Trump. Go ahead and play it some more. Go.
The comments are kind of next to each other, but it's not super clear. Well, over the weekend on Fox, Trump just came out and said what he seemed to be saying in Aurora, that he has the desire to use the U.S. military against American citizens.
I think the bigger problem is the enemy from within, not even the people that have come in and
destroying our country. By the way, totally destroying our country. The towns, the villages, they're being inundated. But I don't think they're the problem in terms of election day. I think the bigger problem are the people from within. We have some very bad people. We have some sick people, radical left lunatics. And I think they're the and it should be very easily handled by, if necessary, by National Guard, or if really necessary, by the military.
The Harris campaign responded to that, saying that it should, quote, alarm every American who cares about their freedom and security.
Okay, let's put this in context. The questioning, if I'm not mistaken, was in relation to things like BLM riots, the claims of insecurity after the election if the left doesn't like what they see in the results, riots in the streets, dangers and threats to American citizens. And he was saying basically how many times has the left said, if the president had just provided the proper security at the White House on January 6th, and then the whole thing about Trump saying, I authorize the use of the National Guard, you wouldn't take them. Well, the end result is this. Trump doesn't just activate the National Guard. That's a governor's job, unless he federalizes them under Title 10, and then he has to have a national emergency to do it, and he has to have the authority to do it. He doesn't just send the U.S. military, because there's a constitutional provision about the use of posse comitatus. That law prevents the use of U.S. citizens against or on U.S. soil in the absence of a declared emergency where life, limb, and property are threatened. This is fallacious. This is both fallacious and salacious, contumacious, and, oh, by the way, atrocious. Good Lord, that's a great bunch of Scrabble words. But the bottom line is this: it's wrong. And Kamala Harris is conflating, trying to create a soundbite. Go ahead.
No, this is one of those things I don't even think people on the left believe themselves when they're saying it. It's sort of like the Russia
wow.
thing.
Wow.
You know, do I wish Trump would say express himself in a clear fashion so they can't twist his words like this? Yes, but I don't even think they believe what they're saying. I think they're using this as an opportunity to twist his words because he's not very good at fully expressing himself. You know, he kind of rambles and gets his thoughts out. And
he weaves.
He weaves and kind of just blurts it out without, you know, thinking beforehand, you know, how they can twist what he's saying. But I think you're right. I think what he's talking about is, you know, the BLM situations and such. And, you know, that. If you want to, you know, give a comparison or give a reference almost, you know, people in Alabama calling for the National Guard to go to Birmingham to get the crime there under control.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
That's a great example of it. But, you know, he's not saying, I'm going to get in office and I'm going to use the military. I'm going to go after those leftists. That's not, you know, that's not what he's saying.
By the way, he can't.
Yeah, exactly.
So even if he was, he can't.
Yeah.
The left creates fear because that's part of how they campaign. They campaign on fear. All right. Well, we did that. We just unpacked that thing and took it all the way to the break. Let's go ahead and take the break. We'll come right back. So many of y'all have texted in. I got to stay on this because you guys are texting in some stuff that makes great content for the show. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We will be right and we will be back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades today. So I'm going to the phones real quick. Brian from Huntsville's on the line. Brian, how you doing, buddy?
I was doing.
Did we lose you?
And those IOS words and everything about Kamala Harris. We all swore an oath as military, or she sworn it at least twice, to defend the Constitution against the United States, against both enemies, foreign and domestic. So well, I'm going to call her atrocious.
Well, that's, I mean, and absolutely. And Brian, we do have some double feedback coming on. I'm not sure if it's your phone. You're the only one that's happened to that we know of. But the reality is, yeah, we did swear an oath. And she is, by claiming that Trump would do this, she's also insulting every member of the military as if they would just willingly go like robots into action against U.S. citizens because one man said go. Good call, man. Sorry for the feedback.
Precisely and precociously.
Absolutely. All right, brother. Thank you. The idea that would happen, I mean, this is almost like a mini dipper at this point now. We're talking about the idea that Kamala Harris says Trump wants to go with the enemy within. He wants to turn the U.S. military against U.S. citizens. No, he doesn't. Stop it. Dustin from Hillsboro. Didn't Joe say we don't have jets as though he could use them again? Yeah, he did, as a matter of fact. He's the one who said that the end result is if you want to bring your AR-15, buddy, you better have an F-16 or something crazy like that. JT Lacey Springs talking about Blue Origin. Says Blue Origin has a manufacturing and assembly facility in Huntsville. Leases the old Saturn motor stand at Marshall to test their engines. Good stuff. Joe from Owens Crossroads says, being the leader of Hamas has great job security. It's the last job you'll ever need. Well played, Joe. John C. from Madison says, Yaya is no-no now. I like that. That's a bumper sticker. I mean, there's gonna be Israelis driving around, you know, in Jerusalem with bumper stickers saying, Yaya is no-no now. Bruce from Springville says, Harris is the ultimate narcissist. She avoids questions. She tap dances on the answers. She plays the blame game. Okay. You got David from Bucky saying, Phil, if not a continuation of the Biden administration, then what would a Harris administration look like? Well, we don't know because she won't tell us. Let me jump on a couple more and then I'll go to the phones before I run out of time. Gary M.S. from Huntsville. I think it's Gary M. from South Huntsville is what it is. Says, what was the song that was playing? I don't know when this text came in. I don't know. We'll find out for you. What was that last bump that we had playing coming back in? Do you know? Can you look it up?
I don't even know what the song that was.
It's on the bump screen. See if you can figure that, but we'll tell him. Mike C. from Huntsville says, these woke outlets keep clipping Trump's words. Is this the same? Yeah. Totally out of context. They only play half and they tell you what he means. I have ears. It's obvious he never links the military with handling the American people. You just have to listen to his complete thought. We have some very sick people, radical military. I don't know. James from Arab says, Kamala and Joe stopped building the wall. Kamala went on Fox and had a great fall. All the DNC's donkeys and all of CBS's men couldn't put Kamala together again. This audience, man. Let me go to the phones. Who's on the line over there? Is that Kareem? Kareem's on line one. Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing fine today, brother, especially after I watched Kamala handle her business last night.
Was she your hero last night?
She got her message across.
Was she your hero?
She got her message across even when he was cutting her off. But let me ask you something.
Okay.
Why is it that she has to be 100% perfect, but every time Trump says something, you guys tie yourself up in knots doing all sorts of last half hour, all sorts of acrobatics trying to explain what he said? Are we not to believe him or take him at his word?
Well,
anything that he say, or is every
his,
time he says
if his
something,
word, if his
you guys
word had actually said
next,
it, if his word had actually gotta, said it,
you
we could believe.
Spend the next, no, y'all spend the next 30, the last 30 minutes trying to explain to people what they heard.
No, we spent 10.
Now, if he can't have it both ways. If he's a man of his word and he mean what he say, then you're supposed to take him at his word.
Okay, well, let me ask you this.
You can't say, he didn't really mean that.
Let me ask you this. You came away feeling really good from last night when Kamala was on Brett Baer's
interview.
Absolutely.
Okay,
so when he played for, hang on a second.
He tried that guy.
Hang on, I'm going to take what you just said a moment ago. And he said to her, and he played her own words about her being supportive of transgender surgeries for prisoners on taxpayer dime, and she wouldn't answer the question even though she had said it before. So should we take it at her word, I guess? And he also played clips.
She answered the question, and not only did she answer the question, she said Trump did it first. Now, do that matter?
No.
To you, that Trump did it first?
And the response that you and the response that you missed, Hank, the response that you missed was when he said, actually, that was a policy that was in place when Trump took office, and the Trump administration has already told us that not a single surgery was paid for during his time in office. So it didn't happen. She just needed to deflect.
So we're supposed to believe Trump. This is what we're supposed to believe.
No, but I asked you, if you say we're supposed to believe the words that come out of their mouths, then why can't we go ahead and believe the words that came out of her mouth?
Anything.
The words that came out of her mouth, we were playing it back for her, and she was still trying to deny them. She was trying to deny
them. Listen, like I said before, she has to be 100% truthful, and she can never be a politician when it comes to her answers.
What does that mean, be a politician?
Trump could say anything he want to say.
Wait, what does that mean, be a politician?
You guys will spend all day.
What does that mean, be a politician?
What he say?
What does that mean, be a politician? What are you saying? They're allowed to lie?
The same thing that J.D. Vance do. When they asked J.D. Vance did Trump win the election last year, he skirted, jumped all around it. The same thing with
J.D. Vance has answered that question at least 100 times.
About abortion, he said, He said, oh, the states wanted it. The states didn't want that. And all I'm saying is that if you're going to be a true arbiter between the two, but, then tell the truth. Even tell the truth.
But the reality is, Kareem, what you don't want to do is have her be held accountable. You just want to say, Trump said something. I think I can take it out of context. Let me use it. Why don't you believe him? He said something that he didn't say. And then you want us to all just like disregard the fact that Kamala says things. They brought receipts. They brought receipts on her and laid them on the table, and she could not deal with it and answer the question and take her own words at her own face value.
She dealt with it. She dealt with it. She answered it just like any other politician.
She didn't answer. Wait. Okay, hang on a second. What is any other politician? What you're trying to say is that politicians are given a pass. If politicians lie, then there's still a lie. Just because they're a politician
they
doesn't
are.
Mean there's
some reason.
All right, brother. Hey, we ran up against the music. We ran up against the music, man. As always, we don't agree. But I love you anyway. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I do mean it when I say it. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, we're into the final moments here. A bunch of y'all have already seen, smell the barn. I mean, you're like getting the car keys in hand and ready to head out for go home time. We're going to take you all the way to the top of the hour. Text line is going crazy today, JP. Like try to keep up with these listeners, man. They're texting in some serious content too. Mm-hmm. And I will say too, I'm pretty sure that some of it is because Kareem triggers people.
Yeah, reading some of these, I would agree.
I'm gonna go ahead and suggest that there's a few of your texts. Just don't be offended when I don't read them out, because it probably would do the world no good. I do have this, by the way. Monroe from Huntsville texted in. He says, Kamala on the debate or the interview last night, Kamala employed the Dean Smith UNC Four Corners basketball stall strategy. If you could explain that to me in great detail, that'd be fine. But the bottom line is, it's a stall.
You pretty much just put all your players in the four corners of the court and try to run out the clock.
And just pass the ball back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Yep.
Pretty much. It never works.
Someone's going to intercept it at some point. Yeah. Take it down the court for a slam dunk. Brian S. for Huntsville, thank you for having Kareem on. He's always a good demonstration of how disingenuous and crazy those with Trump derangement syndrome really are. There you go. Brian from Huntsville texted in and says, under Barack Obama, didn't Chelsea Manning, while in prison, get his hoo-ha and name changed on our dime? If he had surgery, I'm not aware of it. But I know he definitely got to start making some changes, if you know what I'm saying. Mike from Florence says, tell Kareem, if that's his name, that if he wants to be heard, that yelling isn't the way to make it happen. He's being a typical hostile Democrat. I'll debate or have a conversation with anyone, anytime, at anything, whether I agree with anything they say or not. Once the hostility starts, I'm done. Okay. Mike from Florence, appreciate you.
By the way, just in response to Kareem, I don't think we want Kamala to be perfect. We just want her to actually provide an answer that's not filibustering. Yeah. And
on topic.
Yes. And he said that we're jumping through, you know, hoops and ladders trying to explain what Trump's saying. That's not the case. We're going through hoops and ladders to try to show how they're taking what he's saying out of context. Misrepresenting it all together, because, you know, if we were to take just little snippets of Kamala's sentence and twist her words like the left does and the mainstream media does, the Democrats would be doing the same thing. And, you know, it wouldn't be jumping through hoops and ladders. It would be, you know, give the full context, and they would be right if we were doing that. But that's what we're not going through hoops and ladders. What it really means is this. What it really means is this. What we're saying is they're not providing the full context of the clip. And not even that, he didn't say what they said he's saying in the clip. He never said that he's going to have, you know, he's going to use the military to attack his political opposition. He didn't say that in the clip. So why? It's just lying. It's just showing how they're lying. It's not going through hoops and ladders to explain what they're saying or what he's saying. It's saying they're lying.
And 2 points to come off of what you just said. That clip that we played, the anchor who was describing the clips even said, it seems that Trump may have been saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And then the other piece is, to your point about politicians, as you closed out your comments there, Kareem made the point Why can't you just let her be a politician like everybody else and be able to say it? Now, if it's a lie, it's still a lie. I don't care what their job is. A lie is still a lie. So it doesn't matter. Politicians don't get a pass. I mean, I'll never forget. I had somebody one time say to me, it's just politics. And I said, no, it's still called a lie. So there's that. Gary from Decatur says, I don't enjoy that unhinged Kareem calling on the show and filibustering every time you ask him a follow-up question that exposes him as a radical with no idea what the truth is. There was zero punctuation in that text until I got to the very end. That's why I just read it. But I get it, man. We'll let him on. I still have the volume control button, so we're good. Bob from Decatur says, he says, he's so annoying, I want to hit my radio with a hammer every time you take his call. Don't do it, man. Don't do it. Mike C. from Huntsville. Those woke outlets keep clipping Trump's words totally out of context, to your point, JP. He said, they only play half and then tell you what he means. He said, I have ears. It's obvious he never links the military with handling the American people. You got to listen to his complete thought. We have some very sick people, radical, da-da-da-da-da-da, military. There you go. Chip from Muscle Shoals says, Phil, it's not the Trump administration who issued the DOD Directive 5240.01 authorizing the U.S. military to use lethal force on U.S. citizens on U.S. soil. It was the Biden-Harris administration. I did see that. In fact, I think he's talking about something that was just actually posted. And yes, there is some concern that the Biden-Harris administration may have just issued a directive in the post-election that the military can be called in as needed. And I need to go look that up because that would be very interesting. And I think it needs to be put on a Trump campaign commercial. Jeff P. from ARAB says, Phil, of course there won't be a continuation of the Joe Biden administration. There's going to be a continuation of the Kamala Harris administration. That one may almost deserve some applause because it's so on point. I didn't even think of it that way. That's why I have an amazing audience to keep me trued up. So what he's basically saying is Biden hadn't been the president the whole time. It's been the Kamala Harris. Although I will say this, Jeff P., I don't think it's been Kamala either. I think the two of them have enjoyed the pomp, the circumstance, and the free housing. And I think that there's been some people making decisions in the background that have been handling stuff. Just saying.
By the way, we have a yellow dog sighting.
We have a yellow dog sighting.
Mm-hmm.
If we have a text from Yellow Dog, I'll come back to it in a moment here. Yellow Dog, they keep dropping in. I can't even keep up. Gary Grady from Arley, Alabama says the president's the commander of the D.C. Guard. I know what you're saying. It doesn't matter. It's not going to change things. Birch from New Hope says, I think Kareem calls in just to derail the show. No, it's not a derailing. It's actually, I don't think I don't enjoy it because I do. Too much time spent talking about his ignorant statements. Well, you're texting in, Birch, but here we go. John from Huntsville says, Kareem once again has no idea what he's talking about. John from Huntsville. Yellow Dog Mike, what's he got here? Oh, here we go. Yellow Dog, you ready? Okay, brace yourself. Have you got a womp wah sound effect? You've got a womp wah over there somewhere. You just need to go ahead and find it.
I'll see if I can find it.
We're going to need it here in a minute. You're just a North Korean-style propagandist for Trump. Oh, God. General Milley thinks he's a fascist. Well, General Milley is just a lily-livered, weak individual who should have been fired right after Afghanistan. Who are these scums he rants about? Care to identify anyone? Yeah, okay, BLM rioters, radical Palestinian supporters who deface public property. Folks who burn down restaurants and tear up streets and destroy businesses. And shall I go on? Says, I reckon I better keep my powder dry in case his MAGA goons come knocking on my door. Last I checked, it was the Biden DOJ that was arresting grandmothers and sentencing them to jail for praying outside of, save a life or like action or save outside of abortion clinics. Says he's going to lose bigly. I've crawled out beyond the wire to set up claymores. Have you ever done that? I think not. What? Well, so first of all, Yellow Dog, come back to us, man. I'm not sure what you mean about you've crawled out beyond the wire to set up claymores. Have you ever done that? I think not. And the answer would be yes. Yes, I have. But that being said, Yellow Dog, if you have claymores, please tell us so that we can make sure that the Biden DOJ knows to come knock on your door. Just saying. Good Lord. All right, a couple more, and then we go to a break. Y'all are texting in like I can't even keep up. Marshall from Dubai. I love the fact we have a guy from Dubai that listens to the show. Hey, Phil, Kareem, Kamala, and the people on the left are more unhinged than a screen door and a double-wide trailer in the middle of a crystal meth bust. Nice. That's quite the illustration. Josh from Coleman, it's the DOD that changed the wording that Secretary of Defense can give the order if needed for lethal force on our grounds for the military. It was September 27th, 2024. I'm going to check that out because that is very interesting to me right now. Jeff P. from ARAB again says, definitely I agree. Neither are running the show. That's why I'll still say the same as if she's cheated in. And then last one for the break, Dustin from Hillsborough. For those who don't want to hear from Kareem, remember this isn't California. Opposition and debate keeps us sharp as well as our message. California is so one-sided, it's practically lost for good. Dustin, your point is well taken, brother, and I would like to go back and reclaim California. Love that state. Just want to see it come back to where it was. In the meantime, yes, open and frank debate is a part of what we're about. But we're also just plain right on Right Side Radio. All right, I tell you what, man. Let's do this. I've got two dippers that are still on the table. I'm going to point out the fact that when you have a single dipper day, it means you had amazing amounts of content. But JP, you start moving us towards the break, man. We'll take that last break of a Thursday afternoon. We'll come right back, catch a few more text messages, and put a wrap on the day. Oh, by the way, Israel confirms the Hamas leader was indeed killed in Gaza. Yahya Sinwar is gone. Loving it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Oh, final segment here for the day. Several more text messages, and I got a call on the line. Is that Jeffro? Jeffro from Indiana. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I've been better. If you could swing by ABC Coke down there in Birmingham, bring me a trailer, I'd feel a lot better.
are you just sitting down there in the yard still waiting?
I'm sitting down there at Falkville just to biding my time.
Oh, my gosh. What, are you going to be getting home after midnight at this point?
Yeah, but today's my Friday, apparently.
That's true. And you used that fake COVID thing you had, just that fake opportunity to get out of work a few days ago. So, wow.
Well, of course. It doesn't
ever work. I'm sorry, brother. I am sorry. But at least you got us to keep you company for a few more minutes. What's on your mind today?
Hey, yeah. Another thing. They have the Welcome Center open on North 65 now.
Yeah, the brand spanking new one without the rocket.
The $12 million WPA project without the rocket. Yeah, it's nice, but it's not nearly as interesting as it was.
No, it almost feels like it's been emasculated. I just don't know why, but the missing rocket. But okay. What about Kamala's interview? Did you watch it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I stomached it, yeah.
That's right. You were texting me. I know you did, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, you know I did, because I was sitting there talking about the Brent the Bear, man. That's his new name, Brent the Bear, because he ate her alive.
He did. He brought receipts and all of it. It was actually enjoyable to watch her have to do a real interview. What's galling to me, though, is the fact that she really, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I think she really blew her opportunity. She had a chance to do something here that I think would have been more meaningful for her campaign. Give real answers, show up on time, stay longer than you meant to, and then pretend like you enjoyed yourself. And instead, she was like this angry harpy who showed up late like a diva, and her staff was in the background waving, trying to get the other thing over with so they could get out of there, and like they were trying to ice the kicker, just keeping Brett on his heels. It was ridiculous.
Well, that's what you do when you don't have any... Let's gravitas. That was those famous words everybody likes to throw around, the gravitas.
Gravitas. Yeah.
She don't have any gravitas. you talk about Trump and everything. You know, she wants to talk about Trump using the army and everything to do all this stuff with. I thoroughly hope that Trump does. If I'm Trump and I get my AG in there and I look at him, I'm going to say, go investigate everything and go after him. If people are lying in front of Congress and everything else, go after them with a full force of the law. I mean, you can't let them sit there and do what they did to Trump and go after him on basically nothing and try to, you know, do all the things they did to him whenever, you know, like they never went after Hillary and she committed real crimes And I guess Obama knew about it, which is really bad because, you know, he knew she was doing all this stuff and everything and then allowed it. And we're going to have to, it's just like the, it's like I was saying in an earlier text, you know, the Germans and the Nazis went after the Jews until after the war, and then the Jews went after the Nazis no matter where they were. And they weren't safe anymore. So I think after this election, if Trump gets in there, be forewarned that if you did wrong, you will be prosecuted.
Well, I think that's fair. I mean, if you did wrong, you should be prosecuted. And but I was talking to an older gentleman today, just a wonderful, wonderful, kind, godly older man. He's 96 years old, and he was asking me. He said, "Phil, what do you think's going to happen?" I mean, he's still sharp as a tack, very conservative. He said, "What do you think's going to happen?" I said, "Well, I think right now everything's leaning towards Trump winning, and I'm going to continue praying it all the way through." And he said, "Well, what's going to happen after he's elected with all these people in the deep state who tried to undermine him last time?" And I said, "Well, you know what? I think one of the first things he needs to do is announce that there's a whole lot of people that need to start looking for a new job. And when that happens, I bet you're going to see people dropping their retirement papers. Other folks going to be brushing up their resume and trying to figure out where they're going to go next. And there's some that are going to be cleaning up their social media and hoping they can just hide in place because of the things they've been doing in the meantime. But I think he definitely has to clean house."
Yeah, just like they said with 9/11, I think we need to do with this one, never forget.
No.
And we need to remember all the people that did these things. Just like Maxine Waters or whatever. How come she never was prosecuted for inciting riots?
Because she's a Democrat.
You know, anytime that anybody went after somebody, she should have been arrested for inciting violence. Because a lot of people went after all the Republicans, you know, and everything, and caused them harm.
How about Kamala, who's helping raise money to bail people out after they burned down whole city blocks? I mean, why is she not considered to be someone who is, you know, taking the teeth out of law enforcement by advocating for getting criminals back on the street as quick as possible so they can commit more crimes? And she won't own it.
People need to remember that when they go vote this year.
Yeah, they do. All right, brother, I got to clean up a few more text messages, and I hope you get on the road soon, my friend.
They're on their way, but who knows?
All right, buddy.
Pass by Falkville, just wave hi.
Right. Where I'm at. We'll see you, man. Take care.
Have a good one. Thank you.
And grades are in, by the way. Kareem gets a D-, says John, for his poor performance. Phil gets a B+ for only doing one dipper. John, I thought we already worked this out. You understood that one dipper meant that the dipper was so intense you had to stay on it. Anyway, he said, however, today's winner for a second day is and then his text broke up. I think what he's trying to say is it was you.
Yeah, and he's looking forward to JP on Sports tomorrow. That's what he says. So
tomorrow's Friday. Oh, JP on Sports tomorrow on Right Side. Gotcha. Yep. Okay. Good. I'm just still flabbergasted with my B.
You know, Kareem only gets a D-, so you know, not an F.
No.
So he must have done something that he liked in there.
It's a subpar grade, but it's still allowed to pass.
Yeah, exactly.
Danny from Pinhook, Alabama says, right is right, is wrong is wrong. I just vote for plain right. Just plain right. Yes, indeedy. Thank you, sir. Josh from Coleman says, hey, Phil, I was just double back in the Department of Defense document. I watched it on the Graham Allen podcast in the hot seat yesterday, and they went over it pretty thoroughly. You might can pick it up. I tell you what, I will look on that, and I may be looking for that as a whole dipper by itself, depending on what I find. Darlene from Decatur says, I went to D.C. last Saturday on Yom Kippur for Lou Engel's Million Women Prayer Event on the Mall. We spent a lot of time praying for Israel and the war going on. I wonder if the killing of the last Hamas leader was a direct result of 350,000 women's prayers. You know what? Can't hurt. And I would say that is definitely part of the favor. Israel has been able to take out the head of the snake by taking out Yahya Sinwar today. And so, Darlene, thank you for being willing to go to D.C. and pray in mass. I did that once, when Promise Keepers had the million men on the mall. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm pretty sure we had a million. It really was. I've seen overhead pictures, and we literally just – the Washington Mall was just covered up with men praying and praising. Ben from Decatur just checked in. He says, regarding Kamala, she answers her questions like a game of charades. Starts her answers with her wants and then ends in the colors of her dreams. Okay. Listen, the music's playing. But the bottom line, you guys, is this. There are more of us than there are them. God is still on his throne. Stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.